Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 12th of March, recording at 5:15 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, I'm going to do the big picture. I'm also going to mention a trade and several that I've been contemplating. But first, I'm going to read a very brief email from Eves because it concerns issues that are relevant to the big picture and to the service in general. Now, most of the emails, you know, that I've had in have been very complimentary. Maybe people who aren't quite so happy, they take a little bit longer for things to come in, but here it is. Eve says, the disparition of the monthly letter is a pity because it was a great synthesis of the situation. It had an original approach of the market and had a lot more value to me than a short-sighted analysis of what's going on daily. Does David Fuller plan to resume the monthly letter at a later stage, or is this a definitive change of focus? Best regards, Eves. And I said, hello, Eves. Thanks for the feedback. Subscribers' comments are important to me. I understand your concern, and I'm usually wary of change. But did you hear my discussion yesterday of credit creation being best for investments where there was a supply, where there was supply inelasticity? Nothing short-term about that. Also, Friday's audio always looks at the big picture. Much of the writing will also deal with features that you liked in the hard copy. After all, I'm the same person, and I can do more in the website format. All best wishes, David. Now, I'm certainly not bringing back the hard copy issue, but the features that people did like in the hard copy issue, I trust that they will find that they are pretty much replicated or improved on in the new website written format and enhanced through these audio broadcasts. Now, one of the points that I just had mentioned on this, you can only do so much in life. I can work so much more effectively through this medium of the website and the audio, and most of my mail suggests that. But people who've been used to the letter for years and years and years inevitably feel either disappointed to see something go that they liked and relied on. It means that they have to change their approach to the service in terms of how they actually use it. And there's a little bit of a learning curve that's involved in all that. And then there's also anxiety because, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? And all I can say is just watch this space, because the forum will be going up before the end of the month. I think you'll like that. It's going to be a fantastic feature in my view. And the Fuller Money service, as it is, will continue to expand. But I couldn't go on developing this site and the audio and the copy and the forum and so on and continue producing that hard copy. And as a matter of fact, I was getting warning signs that I was going to break down physically in this. And when I'm under a lot of stress, it shows physically eventually, and it'll almost invariably show in my lower back. And I had some time away. I had a difficult period there with my back. It's just a good sort of warning indicator. Something's got to go. Something needs to be changed in the procedure. And also, it was so repetitious doing that letter after I had already covered the material in the audio and on the website. So I'm not going to bring it back, the hard copy. It's a dated technology. It feels like horse cart and buggy whips to me. I'm going to push on and make this audio as good as I possibly can. And I do hope those of you who are feeling a bit uncertain about the change will just watch it. it sounds like a threat. I mean, just watch the service for a bit longer and see how this evolves, and I aim to please with this, but I also have to play to my strengths and use the methods and technologies that enable me to do so. But I'll always listen to your comments, and it does influence the way I couch these broadcasts and some of my copy. Okay. In terms of the actual trades that I had done, Palladium reached the first of my baby steps profit-taking levels. And that was, it's been up to a high of 284 today. I had an order in on a spread bet position to take profits at 280 to me. So it had to get to 282 2.5 on that, because they're now quoting a 5-point spread on that. That happened this morning. I looked at my, when I logged that in on my own personal system, I noticed my first purchase in Palladium was exactly a year ago, and it was an appalling time, as with hindsight, to start picking up the Palladium. So 1 month on, the position is highly profitable, and I think most investment managers would feel that on a one-year view, well, and that's the way you did it. You did invest. So you start building a position, and hopefully you come to fruition a year or so later. Some would have a longer time horizon on that, but I do try to time these things a bit better. And so it was obviously early, and Palladium went down, and I added and nibbled in terms of increasing that position on a baby steps basis. Now, you can go bust doing that if you start too high, and it's a tactic I only use when a market is extremely depressed, as I felt Palladium was. But of course, there's nothing to prevent a depressed market from becoming even more depressed, and Palladium at one stage got down to about 145, and I think my lowest purchase was in the 180. So had I started a little later, I would have bought more aggressively lower down. I was holding back for money control purposes, but the rest, you know, is history. Now, the other things that I was contemplating doing but haven't done yet, because the price is pushed up a little bit, is markets are oversold in here, in the short-term stock markets, that is. And I thought, well, can I go in and I might buy, what might I buy? It's a little bit tempting to have a position for a bit of a bounce, because the Madrid tragedy has accelerated some of these downtrends, registering short-term oversold conditions. And I thought, well, there are things like the NASDAQ that has been pushed down the most, but it's seen a little bit of technical damage. There, excuse me, there are things like Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, which I do like, but that's going to be influenced by the U.S. dollar, and it has done a little, it's done some technical damage as well, as you would have seen yesterday. And there's Japan, which has one of the best overall patterns. It had the upside breakout on the Nikkei and has come back towards that level, but it was up a little bit higher than I wanted, and I was hoping Wall Street might give up some of today's gain. But so that was what I was thinking of picking up. And then there's, excuse me, also the tin. And the tin has been moving away from me a little bit, and I haven't been trading as much recently, as you know, partly preoccupied with the website developments, but especially feeling that these are a little bit, this is a more turbulent environment in here right now, and it's harder to make money, and I don't want to take too many risks, and I may not put myself under any further pressure in that area for a while yet. Okay, big picture. Where is this global stock market cycle going? First, I feel, as I've said so many times, that we are in a secular bear market on Wall Street. This has been a technical bull phase, a very, very predictable technical bull phase, and it has seen a 50% increase in the S&P 500 index, and also the rally lasted a year. Well, those two statistics rung a couple of bells with people. Then we had Warren Buffett coming in with his statement. The dollar's rally, which unnerved a number of people, and then the Madrid factor, and so on, and so a full-fledged correction is underway. My guess, and it is only a guess, as I have said before, I believe I said yesterday, my guess is that this is not the big one that some people are looking for, in which case the S&P goes all the way back down and tests its lows. I think we're just in a more choppy environment here now, and that we will see the market bounce around, but that we're probably begun the topping out process for this very good medium-term rally or technical bull within the secular bear trend. That's why I feel that it's much harder to make money in stock markets these days at an acceptable risk. And I do emphasize that risk point, because yes, come in, buy for an oversold rally, markets run ahead a little bit to put out a couple of shorts, but it's going to be choppy. That I want to emphasize, and I've said repeatedly that, well, first I feel that the opportunities are less, but the main change has been that the risks overall have increased really quite substantially. And it's a theme I come back to over and over again, and we'll continue to do so. So therefore, I have half the equity weighting, as I say, that I had 3 to 6 months ago. Now, as far as today's action, some of these Asian markets were quite steady given the weakness that we had seen on Wall Street last night. Japan was a little bit weaker than the others. First, it had a good run, so some profit taking, and then the story that the Madrid bombing might have been by Al-Qaeda, that worried the markets even further. Now, if it turns out just to be ETA, then it'll be less significant psychologically for the world at large. Obviously, it's going to remain a horrendous tragedy for Spain. But if it turns out to be Al-Qaeda, or while people still fear that it might be Al-Qaeda, and there's some reasons for suspecting that, then it's more of a global factor, because people will be saying, is a new terror campaign beginning here? So that's another element that unfortunate element that is now part of the overall debate and part of the psychology for the market. Now, what about bonds? Well, during this shakeout, government bonds naturally have bounced up quite strongly, because a lot of the shakeout has been over the slow growth in Europe and the fact that people felt that a lot of people have been saying that China was overheating and China was trying to slow down its economic growth. Then that the U.S. growth, a lot of people have been saying the U.S. growth is slowing, and there's certainly been some evidence of that. And so bonds have really been quite steady against that background. Christopher Wood talks about bonds, and he's really quite bullish of bonds in here at this stage. He's certainly been right in the short term, but remember, we had that huge sell-off in bonds that commenced in June, and I think that ran from June into August, possibly September. Then that put in the top on bond prices, low on bond yields, and we're in a top extension phase, in my view, overall. So I really don't like bonds here, and I do feel they are an accident waiting to happen, to coin a phrase. Now, what's keeping them up right now? Some quite strong demand. There has been the demand from China and the demand from Japan, and this is part of their monetary policies and keeping their own currencies long. They put most of that money, incidentally, not into the 30-year, 10-year U.S. bonds, but into the short end of the government bond market, but it does help to keep interest rates quite low. And then the U.S. banks in particular, and some foreign banks, have been playing the carry trade. In other words, they go to the U.S. Federal Reserve, borrow at 1%, the federal funds rate, and then they leverage that money up by buying futures in the treasury bond market. And they'll buy the 30-year bond and the 10-year bond for that, depending on how how aggressively they want to play that yield curve. And it's money for old rope, as long as the Fed is talking happily about no need to move interest rates up, and as long as there's no inflation scare. But it doesn't take a genius to appreciate that if it's money for old rope and people have been piling in to actually do that, that once they start to unwind those trades, and why will they start to unwind them? Because circumstances will change. The Fed will be at some point be moving, start to move interest rates up. At some point, there is bound to be an inflation scare, if not sooner or over the medium term, certainly over the longer term, I expect that. And when there is a scramble to get out of those carry trades, the bond market will, in my view, U.S. bonds will fall a lot more rapidly than they have rallied since that August or September low for bond futures prices. Okay, so I would not be buying government bonds, and here I wouldn't be buying anybody's government bonds as far as the long-term issues are concerned. If you have government paper, I would have the very, very short-term paper myself. Now, I do have a small, as you know, position in the a small short position in both U.S. Treasury and JGB futures. That's just a sort of a toe in the water, and if you will, it's the equivalent of my buying the palladium futures too early. A year from now, I'll be quite surprised if I haven't taken a profit on that, although I may not, of course, but it was too early. I was putting that toe in the water, and I was only doing it because I felt that bonds had completed this secular 18-year bull market, and then it was just a matter of how long the top development took before we actually entered the bear market. And some of those fundamental factors, I don't want to go too long on this, but just think about it in terms of supply. If these governments have to borrow all that much, do we really want to lend them all that much money? Well, I don't. Now, turning to currencies, and this is an interesting day in the currencies. The dollar rally is still evident in here, although it's backed away against the yen. It's really the euro that's soft in here right now. Currently 121.96, that's down over 1.5 cents right now. Dollar yen is about unchanged. It had been up to 111.40. Incidentally, on that Nikkei trade, if I were to pick that up, if I were to open a small Nikkei trade, my vulnerability would really be a rally in the yen. So that makes the position a little bit more speculative at this stage, because the dollar has had a good run and there's been a good short covering rally on those dollar yen trades. But in terms of currencies, when I look at the charts and the sentiment overall, I still don't see any evidence that this dollar's rally is over. I feel it's almost certainly a contra trend rally, although I had said earlier on, before this dollar rally occurred, I said that earlier on that before that the dollar was temporarily oversold, that it was due for a rally, and then I felt that it had probably seen most, but not all, of the bear market decline that was likely to occur. And these markets usually get overshoots, or they so often get overshoots. So I felt that it had perhaps seen enough of a correction, but not in terms of the overshoot. So that possibility still remains. But meanwhile, in the short term, the dollar carry trade, the people who had come in and shorted the US dollar so aggressively, they are still being squeezed. Now, it's really a question of, is euro dollar going to mostly range sideways in sort of a 120 to 129 band for quite a while, or are we going to see a bit further correction? I think the odds of a bit further correction by the euro are really quite good, and a lot of people have been saying, well, this is a medium-term correction in the 3 to 6 month time horizon. I think that's a reasonable guess of what's quite likely to occur. Some people, of course, are saying, no, that's it. It's all over. The dollar's bottomed. And the more people who say that, the more it'll tell you about people who have covered their bearish positions and maybe even gone the other way around in terms of buying the US dollar. And the more bullish sentiment becomes for the dollar, the more vulnerable it will be for the next correction. Okay, other overvalued currencies include sterling, still reacting. It's at 180 in here today. Australian dollar still reacting, but I think that the bottom line here, that we probably haven't seen the final lows for the US dollar. Moving on to the commodities, and especially the metals in here right now. I've talked a lot about the inelasticity of supply, and I do feel we have an important secular bull market in all metals, and that this is likely to run for well over a decade from current levels. And we've had a good 2 years or more on the upside so far, but these were markets moving up from historically depressed levels, certainly in real terms, if not also nominal terms, and in some of the industrial metals, it was nominal terms as well. They're a bit overbought in the short term. There's been some profit taking in line with the dollar's rally. None of that is all that surprising. Now, my feeling, though, is that the supply inelasticity factor will mean that we probably get a superior performance, a continued superior performance by metals, most metals, relative to what occurs in other asset categories. In other words, I expect over the next decade, I would expect metals to outperform bonds, I would expect them to outperform stock markets, and I would expect them to outperform any single currency trade. Now, I think there will be a pecking order, and at the bottom of that performance table among the metals will be gold, in my view, although I expect it to do very well, but there are supply concerns. Central banks are still able to sell gold. The Europeans will be selling up to 500 tons a year on their new, is it Plaza Accord agreement? I think so. Or Washington agreement, whatever it's called. And so we will have these sales. Whereas we don't have that with silver, we don't have that with platinum and palladium, although they still mine the stuff, obviously, as they do with gold. But gold's more of a political animal, therefore, and it's of considerable interest, but it's not going to be the leader. And I would say that I've already said all the other metals will outperform it, but what may well do best, probably will do best over here, in this cycle, particularly if there is no serious dent in China's overall economic growth, it will be the industrial metals, and those are basically copper, lead, tin, zinc, and aluminium. And wherever there are shortages causing backwardations, as we currently see with copper, with tin, and with nickel, those will do best, but they will be volatile. And as you know, I had some quite substantial positions in those markets. I had quite a run in copper. I came in late on the tin and on the aluminium, nickel. Let me start again. I came in late. I had copper, big run in copper, and came in late on tin and zinc. It was tin and zinc. Those are the other two that I had. And then got stopped out. I was taking little risks. Stopped out at small profits on those two. Stopped out at a good profit on the copper, as you may recall. But with the dollar rallying, these are likely to be choppy, and we've lost the commonality theme. In other words, they were all trending in an orderly fashion in the same direction previously. Now they're really quite choppy in here. The one that I've been talking about the most and wanting to get back on board is tin. It's a little bit frustrating to see it here. It's 7,200. That's another new high in here today, up $50, and it was up $80 at one point. But if we get the dollar rallying further, and I've said I think that's quite possible, we get that additional bear squeeze, that may well lead to more choppy conditions in some of these metals over the short term. So I'm not wanting to take a whole lot of risks in here in this environment, as you know. And I think that's pretty much it on that global wrap position. I just mentioned that some of the agricultural commodities I would also expect to benefit. Some of them are already benefiting. I still own corn, for instance. I got stopped out of my soybeans where I wasn't taking much risk, and that's rallied back up quite a bit. It's back up at 954 in here right now. I was stopped out at a small profit at 920 on that. But again, my risk tolerance is much reduced in here in this environment and these choppy conditions, which I trust you understand. And the last thing, I mentioned that oil price chart, quite important, that I put up. You'll notice when you look at that oil price chart that it is testing those highs, which run back for several years, that is an important psychological resistance area. I think it may well take some time for oil to break through on the upside, particularly while the dollar is firm. Oil, for instance, is down $1.38 in here today, and the greenback's strength would be a factor in that. But the buildup of support on the chart suggests to me that, well, oil may easily react. It would be surprising if it didn't react here from the higher side of its range, up near this sort of $37, $38 on the spot crude. And I put up a second month continuation chart of oil, so those levels would be slightly lower, about around the sort of $35 level. It'd be surprising, as I say, if oil didn't encounter some resistance there in the short term, but the buildup of support that you can see on the right-hand side of that chart does suggest to me that it is going to break on the upside. And of course, I'm also influenced by the performance of many other industrial commodities in making that comment. Now, this is a long audio, but some people will have the weekend to listen to it, perhaps. And there's one other thing I need to mention. You know, 2 days ago, when I was experiencing some glitches in the uploading on the website, and make a long story short, my actual email, when I pressed the email send email button to send the public comment of the day out, that had occurred at just after 2 a.m. in the morning a couple of days ago, and my IT people were telling me that there had been a bit of a bandwidth crunch on the audio following that release. That's the first time that's happened. So my first question, in other words, a lot of people on receiving that email, they thought, right, the audio's up, and simultaneously went to access the audio. So my first question was, well, where do we stand in terms of actual bandwidth? And they have reassured me, and I mean, do we have bandwidth? So much so that you know, if our bandwidth were human in terms of its width, it would register at the level of clinical obesity, and therefore it's a pretty robust system overall. But if everybody goes to the audio at the same time, then some people are going to find that it's a little bit harder to gain access. So maybe when that email comes through, that public comment email does come through, that's the time when that's most likely to happen. I said, well, how could that possibly have happened at 2 a.m.? They said, well, California, and it was, I think it was 8 a.m. or whatever. And so on the West Coast, a lot of people receiving that simultaneously. So maybe I should, instead of saying greetings from David Fuller in the Fuller Money Audio Commentary, I should be saying, good morning, America, when I start that. Well, perhaps not. But have a very good evening today and a superb weekend. All the best.